Our gospel lesson this evening is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, found in your pew Bibles on page 54 and 71 in the large print edition. This is the word of God for us. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Thanks be to God. The birth of Jesus, as told in Luke's gospel, occurs in two distinct spheres of influence. The first before verse 7, and the second after. The second half of our passage is the personal and poetic part of the story. It is the angelic host startling the shepherds with the birth announcement of the Christ child, who is the Savior, Messiah, and Lord, the promise of good news of great joy for everyone. But the first half is the more official, even legalistic, part. It's as if we approach from about 1,000 feet and work our way down to the heart of the matter. We are anchored in history during the time that Augustus Caesar was emperor and Quirinius was governor. We are given details about society, who was in charge, and the public's response. The text reports that everyone is on the move because a decree has been issued. Orders have been given to the people that they must be registered. They are to report to the places connected with their ancestors in order to be counted for a census. Now, the idea of a census-style registration may strike you as no big deal, but I'd like to point out the huge inconvenience it was for Mary and Joseph. For them, pregnant and nearing the time of her delivery, the timing could not have been worse. The point of a census is to count how many people are in the empire, how many can be expected to pay taxes, how many able bodies can be conscripted to the army, what is the population, Are there places of ethnic concentration that may foster revolutionary thoughts? And Joseph and Mary must travel to accommodate the government's decree. We can tell that the registration was at least a thorn in their side because it comes up 3 times in 2 verses. It is a nagging and toilsome duty. All must register. All of Rome is to move to accommodate this decree. So amid the disrupted lives of the census taking and the overfilled inns, Mary gives birth in the best shelter available. The official need to contain, count, and control the people takes precedence for just a moment over the birth of Jesus Christ. But notice, after having met the emperor and the governor, they never come back into the story. Luke has told us who they are, and then they are never mentioned again, making them irrelevant. The men with the most power in the world are insignificant when compared to the birth of Jesus Christ. We know this because in the second half of our reading, beginning with verse 8, has nothing to do with the people in power. The rest of the story, the good news, is delivered by a full host of angels to shepherds who are removed from the hustle of the city. That's God's sense of humor for you. Sheep all over the countryside receive the fanfare about the birth of Jesus. It is there that we learn the wonder of our incarnated God. Amid the isolated and dirty workers who live in the fields with their animals for weeks at a time, we are told who Mary's firstborn child really is. The angels appear, a sudden and blinding light in the darkness, and the shepherds jump out of their boots. "But don't be afraid," the angels declare. "A new Savior, Messiah, and Lord is born." These titles are important. These titles are used to refer to the emperor. But the one the angels describe is the Son of God. And Augustus, the Roman emperor, has no idea the event exists. In this amazing and almost unfathomable way, Christ is born unto us. God comes into the world as a child. And this baby, before he can even hold up his own head, has the power to bring peace into the world. Peace that can overcome the chaos stirred by the worldly powers, who are not mentioned again in Luke's gospel. Luke clearly sees Jesus as Augustus' rival, and even though the two never meet face to face. It is the baby Jesus, the child born on the move because of an imperial decree, that grows in wisdom and stature, who brings hope and peace to the world. The birth itself is routine. Once Mary and Joseph find a place to rest their weary bones, they have their first baby. He is named Jesus. The mystery starts to grow when the visitors begin to show up. First, the shepherds, and then the magi. They are the ones that recognize the Son of God as a newborn king. So God is born into our world just like one of us. God's need, as the great lover of all, is to be near us. And it is demonstrated by this ultimate gift. The divine becomes human, and we discover that God is not far away, but God is right here with us. our remembrance, our celebration of this miraculous event calls us to be near to the ones we love, just as God chooses to be near us. So tonight, we spread the light of Christ's love, and we share the meal that is his body. This Christmas and every day, I invite you to listen, to watch, and to be filled with the Spirit. Gaze at the holy infant's face and find God's love and mercy reflected there. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Amen. Please rise in body or in spirit and let us sing together hymn number 110, Love Has Come.